Well, good morning on this Sunday, July the 26th, 2020. I trust you have had a good week. We've had tremendous weather this past week, and I hope you've been doing a lot of things outside, and your gardens are growing, and you're sensing the presence of the Lord. And so to all our friends and family far and near, welcome. We're glad you're here. A couple of quick announcements. First of all, I just want to let you know our elders have met and have been praying for every one of you, and we'll be meeting through August. And so if you have any questions for me or your elders, don't hesitate to give myself or them a call. Also, we're going to be having a board meeting on Wednesday, July the 29th at 11 o'clock, and if you want to join us then, you're more than welcome to come. It'll be here at the church, and of course, we'll be observing all the COVID measures as we meet. Have a couple more jokes for you. I think at this time of year, we need a little more laughter. So here's the first one. I used to sell security alarms door to door, and I was really good at it. If no one was at home, I would just leave a brochure on the kitchen table. My paperless origami business has folded. And I love this one. I'm feeling so isolated, I'm actually starting to miss people I don't even like. That's good. All right, let's go over the birthdays and the anniversaries for this week. Judy, we want to wish you a very happy birthday for the 27th. And for Anna on the 30th, want to wish you a very happy birthday. And for Hannah on the 30th as well. And Faith, to you on that same day. All you birthday people on the 30th of July, and of course, Sue Bage on the 31st. And an anniversary, Gord and Sue have their anniversary on the 28th, 47 years. Congratulations to both of you, and many more. All right, let's move on now to our prayer and praise notes. First of all, Dorothy Bingle's eye surgery went very well. I had a driveway visit with she and Paul the other day, and she is coming along fabulously. Monique's granddaughter, Alexa, is out of the coma. That is great news. There's no understanding yet of the full extent of any brain damage, but she'll be continuing with therapy and physio work. So continue to pray for Alexa. And Leanne's daughter is recovering now at home after having her surgery. So again, elective surgeries and different things are starting to come back on screen, and so people are getting the necessary help that they need. So keep praying for those that are on hold waiting. For prayer, Shauna is considering, she's hoping that March of Dimes will consider her for a stair lift for her home, and she needs an answer for that. And Monique's brother, Jacques, he's thankful for the prayers for his daughter, as we said. And we pray that he will really find who Jesus Christ is in the midst of all of this. Vivian updated us. Abby is not doing very well and is concerned that she will be graduating soon with all that she's dealing with. And so if we could just continue to pray for Abby, but also for Viv and for Bob, as they feel, I'm sure, a long way from Northern Ireland at this time. For Linda's grandson, Wesley, he has a learning disability, and he's struggling to know what to do with his life now that school is finished. And we really do need to pray for all our young people and our teachers. There is a lot of stress. I've talked to a number of parents this week, and they're just not sure what to be doing and how to react to the September openings of schools and what that looks like. So keep that in mind. And then Anne, we want to pray for her. There's no results from her MRI. And so, Anne, we will continue to pray for you today and that you'll have some answers there. And your unspoken request and Crystal's unspoken request will certainly lift up. And no doubt there are others in our family that have unspoken requests today. So let's go to prayer, shall we? Father, as we have another time to be together and we take, first of all, this opportunity to thank you for all that you've done for each one of us this week. There's been a lot of stresses for people, and there's a lot of still uncertainty, questions. We continue to ask that you would give us your peace and discernment, And Lord, you would help us in this new week to be able to do the things we need to do. We pray for those who have doctor's appointments or who are waiting for elective surgeries. And so there is some stress there. And for people like Ann who are waiting to get more results and more tests are needed, we think of Alexa too with her tests. And so, Father, people still feel they're in limbo. And so we just ask you to be very clear in what your direction is for their lives and who you bring across their paths. Father, we thank you for the answers to prayer that we've received. Thank you for the good report from Dorothy. And Lord, we pray that her eyesight will be so improved in these days that she'll just feel she has a new lease on life. And as Alexa continues to recoup, that there will be answers to prayer there. And also for Jacques, that he will see that, Lord, you have been working specifically in this situation. And for Leanne's daughter, as she recovers at home, would you continue to strengthen her in every way? We pray for Avi today, and many of us know her, and she's a lovely lady. She's your daughter, and so would you just wrap your arms around her this morning? And for Viv and Bob, may they just feel that you're in charge of every aspect of this family scenario, even though they can't be with her. And Father, all of us at times feel very disengaged from our family members, and so we just trust that you can reach across all the miles to help each one. We also thank you that you're working in practical ways, and again, we request that Shauna would get answers from the March of Dimes specifically for the needs that she has in this home that she's moved into. And Lord, for all the unspoken requests that have been mentioned and our concerns for people, you know them all, and so would you work in your powerful way. And Lord, we promise that we will give you the praise and the thankfulness that you deserve for being our God and Father. We thank you now in your powerful name. Amen. We want to welcome another special guest this morning. Many of you know Gail, and Gail is going to come and sing for us now. So, Gail, please.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Once was blind, but now I see. Grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His hopes my rescue secure. He will my shield and portions be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love. Amazing grace, unending love, amazing grace.
Thank you, Gail. That was lovely. I want to continue on the topic that we started last week. God, what is going on? And so many of you have responded this week with different responses from last week's sermon. And so I want to add a couple of new ideas this week for you to consider. With this global pandemic that's going on, there's new regulations, there's new mandates, and it's affecting personal freedoms. And in some cases, we're finding that it's limiting daily individual choices. And so I've talked with a number of people this week, and especially those in senior leadership in churches, and many of them are saying that they're feeling caged in and they're feeling some sense of anger and stress that's just adding in intensity as these weeks go by. So I want to again say, you know, the question we easily ask is, what's going on? I mean, who knows what's going on? Information one week is different than the information the next week. Who's in charge of our country? Who's in charge of our province? Who's in charge of our municipality? Well, again, if we're asking these questions, is it because we are forgetting who is in charge of this world and is bigger than any of our earthly problems? And I'm not saying any one of us have just forgotten the Lord, but I think we get deluged with things. Our brain goes into overdrive, and so we lie in bed at night, and we spin, or we wake up in the morning, and you know. So I want to reiterate again, despite all of the confusion and all the things that we are waiting for, if you are spiritually hyperventilating, then what next? Well, I think we've got to go back to what we said last week, and my challenge to you is from Jesus' words in Matthew 6. Are you doing what we talked about last week when he said, come to me, what? All who labor and are heavy laden. He's talking about those that believe in God, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So your entire being should calm down, your body, your mind, your spirit, your will, your emotions. And you might remember the prayer that we prayed last week. And have you been praying it this week? Let me remind you of it. Lord, I feel overwhelmed with the effects of this world upon me. I am worried, fretful, and at times angry, and I know this is not your will for me. I choose now to cast all of my anxious thoughts and fears on you. I believe that your love and care for me is all-encompassing. You are my fortress and my protector. I wait in stillness before you and let you alone speak to me. Is that working for you? Have you found that as you've prayed those ideas this past week? Again, the reminder is God owns everything and he's running everything. He's running our world. Psalm 24 and verse 1 is very clear. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. That's you and me. David also says in Psalm 50, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. And Paul, in talking to the church at Corinth, says the same thing from David's theme. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And so, family, I think as we start each day, it's all about what we start thinking about when we awaken. Now, you and I would all agree, it's hard to have the focus we'd like to have when we've never seen God. You know, those that walked with Jesus, how marvelous was it for them? And so by faith, we need to what? We need to reflect on this great God that we serve and who loves us so much. And we do that sight unseen. David says it well. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And yet we've got to let him. If we want to fight that concept, he doesn't grab us and go, come on, we're going to the still waters. Now you come with me right now. You know, he goes, hey, I'm here. I'll lead you. Do you want to be led? Well, no, if you don't mind, Lord, I'd like to worry and lie in bed for another hour and try to figure out what's going on with my world. He leads us beside still waters. And David in Psalm 46, the Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Would you feel you're in trouble now? I think the whole world would say we're in trouble now. And Psalm 131 says the same thing. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things that are too great or too marvelous for me. I mean, things beyond my thinking, I can't fully comprehend. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. Who does the calming and quieting? We do. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. And so every day we're making this choice. The God who runs the universe wants to have a calming relationship and a calming effect on you and I every day. Now, part of the problem is that, I don't know how you find it, but I find the world is full of agitating ideas. This idea, that idea, this is in the news, this is now no longer in the news, this is spectacular, this person did this, oh my goodness. I mean, I've talked to some folks in our own church, and they said, we stopped listening to the news. One of the senior men in our church says, you know, I'm convinced 50% of what we're being told is lies. And so, how do you know what to believe? When this pandemic is over, will people go back to debating climate change? Or what about 5 years ago when the tires were flying off the trucks? We're going to debate that again. Or maybe the price of oil, or we're going to try to follow the money trail, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's agitating. And it's interesting that the scripture even addresses this kind of scenario, and Paul is talking to Timothy, the young preacher. And in 1 Timothy 6, and this is related to people in the church, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he's puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. Now listen to what comes out of that. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce what? Envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind, deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Agitation. And you know, it's interesting, the Bible says, what manner of man or woman should we be? How do we get sucked into things? And I think Satan loves to have everybody arguing with everybody else. And people deflecting things. And people totally frustrated, and I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And if you're espousing this, I'm going to take you off as a friend on Facebook. I mean, what is all this? So this is what I want to propose for this week. Here's your homework. Here's what I'd like you to work on very conscientiously. And I want to give you the words of Solomon. I think Solomon, he's the wisest man that ever walked on the face of the earth, and I think he got it right. In Proverbs chapter 3, and I want you to see these five or six verses we're going to review here today, and let them speak to your mind. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart, all your mindset. Do not lean on your own understanding. Well, that doesn't mean you don't think. But if you're focused on the Lord, how are you balancing your thinking? In all your ways, what? Acknowledge him and the ways that he's leading you. And he will, what? Make your paths straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and do what? Turn away from evil. At any time prior to this pandemic, all over the globe, more than 100,000 planes were in the air. Think about that for a minute. Around our globe, in every country going across the oceans, were 100,000 planes flying. Who controlled their ascent and their descent? Who monitored their course? Who checked their flight path? Who was in communication with them as long as that each plane was in the air? It was the air traffic controller. That person had a massive responsibility, and he also kept planes from getting into massive chaos. God's our air traffic controller. And I was thinking of a prayer concept in light of that this week, and it goes something like this: Lord, you be my air traffic controller. You see the big picture every day as I fly through life. From the moment I awaken until my eyes close at night, help me to navigate through the updrafts and the downdrafts of life. And guard my tongue and feed my mind, oversee my actions, evaluate my reactions, help me to correct my errors, and help me also to turn and run from evil in its many forms. Sometimes I think we need to get a picture of what God is like. And maybe that will help you as it's helped me this week. God is an air traffic controller. He's not a detached God up there just kind of letting the world go along. He's very much interested in your life flight path and mine. And the interesting thing is, this is how Solomon, I think, brings it all together. When we allow God to make our path straight, and we run from evil, and we acknowledge him in all ways, notice what Solomon says happens to us. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. And then he says, now do something else. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Now let's just talk about that for a moment. Who gives everything we have to us? He does. And by the way, it's all his that he gave to us. Have you ever thought of it that way? And then you take the first fruits of your produce. And what? You honor him with that. Whatever that first fruit looks like. We often focus on offerings and tithes and money-based things. But in many other types of cultures, it could be your first grain harvest, your first fruit harvest, whatever, as a thank offering to God. And what will happen is that God will bless, your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. And so I think Solomon has it correct. As we live our lives daily and we work in close conjunction with God, these are the results. And it's timeless. It has nothing to do with what culture we're in or what our gender is or what our age is or what our income level. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that God will bless those that seek to obey. Now, does that mean there won't be agitating passions and arguments and just issues like Viv can't fly to see her sister? No, the issues of life will still be there. But I think as Solomon understands it, and David, his father, said it too, and I think we see that in Psalm 46, that God is our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear, though the what? The earth gives way. Like, what is going on? And the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, and we're already seeing that. Multi-million dollar homes are being washed out to sea. I mean, literally that's happening. David's saying here is, though this may be turbulent all around us, though the waters roar and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its swelling, what? God is our refuge. So don't lose sight of that in the midst of all you're going through. You can still ask, Lord, what's going on? God, what's going on? I don't understand it, but the reality is, God, you're in charge, and I'm going to trust you. And so as you head out into this week, with each of you going your individual ways and me going mine, take heart in the practical aspects of who this God is that we serve. And let me close with this benediction for you. It's in Hebrews, and I love what Paul said as he wrapped up this letter. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I want to conclude with a little song. Many of you will know it. Let me conclude now with it. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Father, as we head into a new week, we know that you go before us. We know that you walk beside us. We know that you are our rear guard. We know that you live within us. And so, of all the peoples of the world, we should be the most confident. We should be the most peaceful. We should be the most trusting. And so, Lord, give us wisdom and discernment. Help us to acknowledge you and recognize you in all our ways, that you might help us to walk in straight paths. Remind us, too, to honor you as you lead and bless and guide us. And, Father, my prayer is for all of us that the agitations of this world and the confusion of this world and the uncertainties of this world and the contradictions of this world again will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and your grace. And so we look to you and guide us, protect us, and direct us. And Lord, we look forward to the day when we will be able to see one another and worship you together as the body of Christ. Thank you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.